Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Extended weekend. We're back for the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning. If you want to swing on over there and check that out. As you know, they go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to click that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
So, all right. Well, you know, Dan, I know I sent you and Mr. Fantasy the link. I had the big FanDuel win over the weekend. Well, not win, but I finished second in one of the contests. I haven't had much luck since, but they've been sending out that free roll. So I've been pumping out a lineup every day. Yesterday, mine was terrible. I'm going to blame it on the illness on why I haven't done so well the last couple days. But now that I'm back up and feeling better, here's what I came up with for tonight. I'm going with Gio Gonzalez of the Washington Nationals. He cost me $8,900. He's had, I believe I saw he's 9-0 with an ERA under 2 in his career against Miami. So I'm hoping that continues tonight. I know they have a pretty high-powered offense, but I'm just kind of going with stats there and hoping it works out. We'll see. Catcher, I went with Stuart Turner of the Reds. He's only going to cost me $2,000. He's hitting seventh in the Reds lineup tonight. This is one of those cases where he's playing in probably the best hitting ballpark in baseball, and I'm hoping I get lucky and he just hits a freak home run and I end up getting double-digit points out of a $2,000 catcher. So we'll see how it goes. First base, I'm going with Joe Mauer of the Twins. He cost me $3,300. He's hitting third for the Twins tonight. Second base, I paid $3,100 for Ian Kinsler of the Tigers. He's leading off for them tonight. Third base, I'm going with Justin Turner of the Dodgers. Now, he's down to $3,300 because they're facing Zach Greinke, and I think that makes him a value. He's hitting third for the Dodgers tonight, and I know it means nothing sabermetrically-wise, but he is leading the National League in batting average by a very wide margin. So I'm willing to take that risk, even though he's facing a very good pitcher. I think $3,300 makes him a great value. Shortstop, I'm going with Marwin Gonzalez of the Astros. He cost me $3,500. He's hitting fifth in their lineup tonight. I'm assuming they probably aren't going to lose to the White Sox 2 days in a row, so they may put up some runs tonight. I also went with another Astro. Oddly, all my outfielders ended up being leadoff guys, just one of those weird things. I paid $4,000 for George Springer, who's leading off for the Astros. I paid $3,500 for Domingo Santana, who's leading off for the Brewers. And then I paid $3,400 for Corey Dickerson, who's leading off for the Rays. Just that odd sabermetric thing. Normally these guys would be hitting 3 and 4 in their batting order, but sabermetrics tells you to hit them at the top of the order, so that's where they are. So there you go. That's what I'm going with. The quick recap, it's Gio Gonzalez pitching, Stuart Turner catching, Joe Mauer at first, Ian Kinsler at second, Justin Turner at third, Marwin Gonzalez at short, and then George Springer, Domingo Santana, and Corey Dickerson in my outfield. This is the free roll. I'm trying to remember what they call it. It's the Ford Tough Truck or whatever they're doing in association with Ford. Oh, toughest ticket. There you go. So that's what I'm going with here. It starts in about 30 minutes if you're playing it. So, you know, good luck. I hope it works out for you. So that's where I went. Have you been jumping in on the free rolls?
No, I haven't been getting emails for it, but I'm trying to put it together right now, actually.
I was gonna say, I always send you the link and stuff, so to make sure you guys get that fun stuff from me. So,
I haven't been getting that either.
yeah. Well, it depends, because I know you've got the different emails, so I just send it to whichever one you've got set up with FanDuel. That's the one it feeds, so I just ship it off to there. So. But while Dan is piecing together his lineup, we did have a couple finals, and we have a few games still in action right now. The early finals, the Texas Rangers beat the New York Mets 5-1. Martin Perez got the win, and Rafael Montero took the loss. The other final, the Colorado Rockies beat the Cleveland Indians 3-2 in 12 innings. Carlos Estevez took the win. Tyler Chatwood picked up a save. I know he's been a starter for the most part, but he picked up a save today. And then Zach McAllister took the loss. Now there are the games going on are almost wrapped up as it goes here. We've got the it looks like the Seattle Mariners just beat the Oakland A's 6-3. It looked like that game just went final. The other game here, it also looks like this is possibly a final as well, as the Giants beat the Cubs 3-1. And then the other game that, according to my up here, is just going into the top of the ninth, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are ahead of the Baltimore Orioles 5-1. So those couple games went final just while we were throwing out the scores there. So there you go. Down to one game just live right now. Everything else will be starting, in a half hour or so. The other games, five or six more games will get rolling. So there you go.
So, what did you think about the big trade with the Rangers sent to the Mariners for a buck?
Yeah, it was, obviously a little odd. I don't think I'd ever remember seeing it, but you're also talking about a guy who's let's face it, is a washed up reliever. I know he had a little success closing for the Angels, but that was probably 4 or 5 years ago at this point, and he's struggled since. I kind of wonder what the discussion was there on how they kind of worked that out and ended up going, well, we'll give you a buck for him. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I mean, like, I don't even know if, we'll see him on the Mariners roster, or if he'll just end up, going to the minors, or they'll cut him, or something. I don't know. But yeah, Ernesto Fieri was his name. So there you go. But I don't know if you saw this one. This was the one I really wanted to get your take on. Major League Baseball, apparently they released, I don't know if they released all of them or some of them, but coming up here, it looks like the weekend of August 25th through the 27th, the players will wear nicknames on their jerseys. Are you excited for this? Is this something you're interested in? I mean, or wearing alternative jerseys as well. And obviously you and I both realize this is just a marketing ploy, but I mean, the XFL used to do this, and you see where it got them. Do you like this?
I think it's pretty cool. I was actually dying laughing though because I saw all of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And can you guess what Jack Greinke's nickname
No, not you. I don't even have an idea. So.
is? It was Greinke.
Oh, that was it? Oh, geez. Here, I thought it was going to be something cool, and you'd be out there, and yeah, geez, that's terrible. Because I know I saw the one that, obviously Andrew McCutchen he's gonna be Cutch, so he'll be that. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen too many of the other ones, or if there are, you know, if there are any good, you know, good things out there.
I mean, I wonder if, you know, Kyle Schwarber, if he's going to be Schwarbino, Schwarbs. We're going to see Rizzo for Rizzo and Bryant.
Yeah. Now, would they both wear it, or would just one of them wear it?
I mean, why not do both? A Brizzo beats a K Brizzo.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that would be, you know, it would be interesting. So, you know, I know some of them, I found some of them here, you know, the ones you hear all the time, you know, like obviously Jose Bautista is going to be Joey Bats. He's been called that for years. Aaron Judge is apparently going to be All Rise. I don't know how I feel about that. Francisco Lindor is Mr. Smile. Noah Syndergaard will be Thor. He's been called that. And then Brandon Phillips, of course, will be Dat, D-A-T, Dude. So we have that to look forward to from some of the guys that I found listed. Obviously, there's, you know, going to be a boatload more that we're going to get to see. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping, you know, like I said, I'm hoping we get some cool ones. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Aaron Judge, All Rise, because, you know, he's a judge, and they can't, you know, I guess it's not as cool. Well, I mean, it's not a nickname, you just use his last name.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, you know, I know, I don't know, you know, how many are accurate, or, you know, but I found a few more. You know, obviously, Chris Davis's crush, I don't know if that's something, you know, he'll go with. You know, you just kind of wonder, you know, like Mike Moustakas has always been Moose. So, you know, there are some, you know, like, remember they called Albert Pujols was the machine for a long time. You know, now I really want to know is if Bartolo Colon actually wears Big Sexy. That would probably be the most interesting out of all of them. You know, that would actually be a jersey I would go out and buy, you know, just because of the nickname on it. And obviously him and I are pretty close to the same size. So that will be one I definitely will be looking for. But, yeah, other than that, like I said, it'll be interesting to see if or what some guys come up with. But, yeah. You know, I'm more interested in the, you know, what the Cubs may try.
Well,
oh,
you know, this would be the only time it would be funny to have David Ross back.
Yeah, so, yeah. Where's his? So I could say Grandpa Ross. Well, maybe they'll do one with that, anyways. So, you know, that could quite be fun. But I, you know, obviously with you know, multiple days off here, I got the poke around and, you know, read too much and listen to too much radio and watch too much television and stuff as I just laid around and do nothing. And, you know, Dan, I can't figure this one out. And obviously this is where you come in, because I can't ask Stu, because I'm literally afraid he would climb to the top of his house and jump off. Why can the Cubs not take control of what is not a very good NL Central? I just don't understand it, Dan. What have you seen, or what's going on with this team? I mean, they should be running away with this division, and, you know, they're, what, a game up going into tonight, and if Milwaukee wins, it's a half game?
Oh, no, the damage
through the tunnel?
No, it was the PA system. No, it's lack of consistency.
Oh.
You know, you don't have a bat out of Schwarber. Hayward's bat really isn't there. I mean, you can go down the list, you know, Addison Russell. Well, I think he and Javi are both performing the way they should or the way they're meant to. Obrist isn't, you know, a clutch player like he should be or like they want him to be. He's, you know, getting up there. They don't have Dexter Fowler.
You know, because, yeah, you know, looking at the standings now, and this is what the Cubs lost added in. Milwaukee is just a game back. Now, they've lost three in a row, but all of a sudden the Cardinals have found something. They're two games back on a four-game winning streak. And even Pittsburgh, even though they're a game under 500, they're on a three-game winning streak, and they're just three games back. So, you know, not all of a sudden did the Cubs just let the Brewers back in it, but here come the Cardinals and the Pirates knocking on the door. Only one of these teams is going to the playoffs. There's no chance in hell that any of the other two manage to get into a wild card position. I think Milwaukee is 5.5 or 6 games out of the wild card. So they're actually closer in the division than they are. You know, looking back here, Dan, is it just going to be one of these seasons where we're going to be kind of going, well, you know, what if this happened or what if that happened while the Cubs are at home in October, November?
I mean, it's possible, but I think you kind of could have been saying that pretty much the whole season.
Yeah, well, I think we have, haven't we?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the other things I think played part into it, too, is John Lackey was signed for too long. But I'm sure
there was
no way around that.
You know, you mentioned Zobrist, and on the bright side, he's only here for 2 more years. So you've got that going for you. You know, he's hitting .225 this year, but, you know, he's Joe Maddon's guy. So, you know, they run him out there every day. One of the things that I think is a real kick in the teeth now is, you know, at the time it meant absolutely nothing, but when they dealt for Miguel Montero, the pitcher they swapped back to Arizona in return was Zach Godley, who would have looked fantastic in the Cubs rotation this year. But remember, they needed Montero because he was a pitch framer and he was better at it than Wellington Castillo. So, you know, they brought Montero in and shipped Castillo off. I know Montero did hit a big playoff home run last year, and obviously he was part of winning the World Series, but when you look at the rotation now, you know, Hendricks has been dinged up. He looked okay today, but he threw a lot of pitches in a short period of time. Lackey's finally managed to get his ERA under 5. You know, Arrieta's got 11 wins, but he hasn't been dominating. And, you know, even John Lester's got an ERA at 4. You know, boy, it would have been nice to have Zach Godley fill in one of those spots, and maybe we wouldn't have had to sell the farm. Maybe they wouldn't have had to sell the farm for Jose Quintana, who's kind of struggled in all but one start. So I don't know.
Wow, and that was one of their draft picks too.
Yeah.
But I guess it only matters if you draft them in the first round.
Yeah. You know, like today, Koji Uehara went on the DL with a strained neck. I assume it's because he's been giving up so many rockets lately. He hurt his neck watching the ball go flying by him. But I'm guessing there. I don't know how much truth there is to that. He was really good to start the year, but you wonder at his, I think he's 45 or something. You wonder if just his age is finally catching up with him and the duration of the season has turned him down. They brought in Justin Wilson. It looked like a fantastic move, and you've got to assume he'll work it out down the line. But he hasn't been very good. Granted, it's only a short time frame here. It's only 4 innings, but I don't like the fact that he's managed to walk 3 guys in 4 innings. So, you know, it looked like, oh, yeah, hey, great, this will help the bullpen, and it really hasn't. So I don't know. I mean, more and more it's starting to look like it's going to be one of these things where we, you know, we get to the end. You know, I mean, they just dropped 2 out of 3 to the Giants. Now they move on to Arizona, where they're going to have to play a legitimate playoff team. I just don't know. I mean, how confident are you that they can, you know, go to Arizona and pick up some wins?
I mean, they can definitely win one of them. I don't know if they'll pick them all, but if you want to keep it on the positive side, all that matters is that they get into the playoffs. Because then
yeah,
it can happen.
Yeah, well, you know, that's true. I mean, all you got to do is get in. You know, like coming into this series, now it does look like the pitching matchup should favor the Cubs. I don't know so much about tomorrow because it's John Lackey against Tijuan Walker, or Tawan Walker, depending on how you want to pronounce it. You know, Lackey, we know it has been up and down, but so has Walker. He's been pretty good as of late, but, you know, I don't know. And then, you know, Saturday it's John Lester against Patrick Corbin. I believe the Cubs lit Corbin up at Wrigley Field, so that may be a positive because Arizona is another good place to hit. And then, you know, it wraps up Sunday. It's Jake Arrieta, and we'll get to see Zach Godley pitch against the Cubs. You know, luckily after that they come home and they got 4 against Cincinnati. So, you know, if they can manage to somehow stumble into 2 wins in Arizona, you know, they could come home and really roll facing a Cincinnati team that's just done. I really think they need to win 2 games, and they do have 7 games coming up against the Reds in the next few weeks. So, you know, they need to get fat against them. They can't stumble like they did against, a bad Giants team, but I know the games are on the West Coast and none of the Chicago teams ever play well out West, no matter who you are.
Well, you want to know why? Because according to Joe Maddon and a handful of others, you know, aside from the time change, it's because the Cubs play too many day games at home.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to hear that BS. That's just such garbage. You know, all he's done is make excuses. And I tell you, if they hadn't won the World Series last year, Dan, he should be fired. Because he's done a poor job with a team that has a lot of talent. So, but, you know, the worst-case scenario, now the Cubs may actually have an excuse. I didn't see this. I didn't have the game on. But apparently Wilson Contreras pulled up while running out a ground ball. Now, this is the last thing the Cubs need because Contreras has been the only decent player on the team for the last, I don't know, month.
Yeah, but they have Avila.
So,
they have the veteran guy.
No, it's Avila now or something like that. They changed the way they say it. So, you know, after years of being Alex Avila, he became Alex Avila. So, yeah, they have that covered. I believe Contreras actually played first base today, and they gave Rizzo a day off against Bumgarner, which is a bad thing. I wouldn't want to be left-handed against him either. But they can't afford to lose Contreras for any length of time. You know, he just coming off, you know, he just won National League Player of the Week. You know, he's got 20, you know, he's got 21 bombs. I think he's second for all catchers. And then, you know, he's driven in 70 runs. I mean, he's really starting to find himself. And that's the last thing they need is a Wilson Contreras injury.
Yeah, well, at least I got my win from Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, for a change, you got to win. They actually scored. Well, they didn't score very much for him, only 3 runs, but, you know, it was enough today. So that's a big, big plus. So, you know, just one of those weird things. Now, I don't know if you saw this one, Dan, but I couldn't literally stop myself from laughing when I saw this. As we know, you know, your guy Melky did finally get dealt. He went to Kansas City at the trade deadline, and I think it was 2 days ago, four guys, and I want to give them all the credit in the world, dressed up in milkmen outfits. And, of course, they had the big sign that says, you know, the milkman always delivers. And sure enough, I think Milk went 2 for 3 or something like that. He had a pretty good day. Dan, I'm a little disappointed that we never saw any White Sox fans come up with this kind of creativity. How did the Royals beat them to the, you know, to the punch here with Melky? He's only been there a few weeks.
I thought he played there previously.
Yeah, he was there a year before, but, you know, he spent more time with the White Sox than he did with the Royals.
Maybe they had it going on before.
Yeah, you think they were old stuff they had from back in. Oh God, I'm gonna have to look and see when he was actually there, because I can't remember what. I think he was there before he signed with the White Sox, but I believe he was only was he only there a year. Let me hunt up Melky's trips around baseball here. Yeah, he was with Kansas City in 2011. But yes, now he's back for his second tour of duty. Hitting 333 in his 9 at bats there, so he's off to a good start. So we'll see. But yeah, he spent, you know, a little more than two and a half seasons with the White Sox. But yeah, he's been around. You know, he started with the Yankees, a year with the Braves, a year with the Royals, that fateful year with the Giants where he was dumb enough to get himself in trouble. Then a couple with the Blue Jays before signing on with the White Sox and now being sent back to the Royals. So, you know, he's a solid player, you know. 87 career hitter.
And his career WAR is 22.3.
Yes, which is ultra important. You need to to have those things. So it's a big plus to land those things. So we'll see if I know the Royals have been scuffling a little bit. The Cardinals have really been taking it to them, but. I think a lot more has to do with the fact that Alex Gordon is just really, really scuffled. And, you know, they were behind going in and Cleveland did lose. But we'll see if they can, you know, turn it around today. I believe they have, one more in St. Louis tonight before they, it's Trevor Cahill against Mike Leake tonight. And then the Royals. There's a fourth game they're playing tomorrow with Jason Hamill. Back-to-back ex-Cubs for the Royals. I don't know how that'll work out. Trevor Cahill tonight, Jason Hamill tomorrow. So, and then they're coming to play the White Sox. So that may be the best thing for them.
that would be the series I'd want to go to with my George Brett shirt.
There you go. So, now the White Sox are going to call up one of their prospects. Ronaldo Lopez is going to come up and make that start Friday night. Do you think, Dan, we'll see some more of these guys slowly leak in? Because I'm realizing on a much more national media base that a lot of these guys have no idea who the hell's playing for the White Sox. I saw the highlight last night, I don't know if you saw this one, Adam Engel made a fantastic catch to rob a home run in what would be considered deep right center field. And the guy who was calling the highlight couldn't remember his last name.
Well, you know, I saw a little bit of this kid with the White Sox so far. And, from what I gathered, his bat isn't necessarily there, but he's great for defense.
Yeah, apparently he's a great defender and he can really run. The problem is they have way too many guys like that. You know, they you know, they've said the same thing about kind of multiple guys there on the team, but you know, they did get Avisail Garcia returned last night. I think he went 2 for 5, and you know, one of the things I mentioned in the blog, you know, and I think it's some of the stuff you and I actually really like about baseball is, you know, you just never know what the hell's going to go on in baseball, because looking last night, you had Dallas Keuchel, who, while he is coming off an injury, is a Cy Young Award winner, facing Derek Holland, who I don't think has gotten anybody out since, like, May. And the White Sox go out and somehow manage to put 8 runs up, and they win 8-5 in a game they probably had no business winning. And, you know, that's just kind of the oddities of baseball. So, you know, it was just kind of neat. It was like, oh, hey, here you go. They're going to win this game for, you know, absolutely no reason. And, you know, that's got to be the scary part. Like, you know, if you're a Royals team coming in here who's in a playoff race, or, you know, any of those other, you know, you just never know when this young team is going to get going. I mean, obviously they don't care. You know, they know they're just here to learn and play and expected to lose, but it doesn't mean they're going to. It just doesn't work like that in baseball.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be fun after the 2018 season when everyone's kind of up and out and the team's kind of getting their stuff together, and the Hawks will no longer be announcing. I think they'll be even that more enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, well, you know, don't say that, because he always seems to find a way to come back. I thought I heard he's doing 20 games next year.
Yeah, that's so, 18. I heard he's done after 18.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I had heard, I thought I had heard 20, but yeah, it could be 18. Oh, yeah, you had a, you know, because, like, I thought he was done. Well, remember, he was done 2 years ago, but then he liked the moves they made, so he came back. And I was like, oh, great, okay, he's back. Here we go. So, it'd be nice some of the young guys come up.
Well, like I said, it'll be fun, but I thought it was hilarious, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on his bitter, grumpy old man statement about how he's never going to go back to Wrigley like anyone cares.
Yeah, you know, that was just kind of the way, even when they said it, I know they tried to make a big deal out of it on the local station, but that's because they cover the Cubs now, you know, they're carrying the games. So I've realized that everything that happens with the Cubs is more important to them than it ever was. But yeah, you know, I mean, in the gist of it, I mean, it's 2 games, who cares?
Well,
you know, I mean, that's all they
play. And not only that, I mean, they've been doing this since 1998, and I don't know if he was what he was doing during the Crosstown Cup, but you figure that's the last 20 years, and you're not going to say anything about it until the year after you come back after they win the World Series, being the ultimate homer.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I know he's not the only one who doesn't, you know, like Wrigley Field and stuff, but, you know, I think a lot of that has to do is you get these guys who are just, you know, really spoiled by these new parks and all the amenities, and, you know, places like Wrigley Field and Fenway Park just, you know, they're not going to end up like that because of where they're located and, you know, because of the age of the ballpark, they just don't have those type of options. So, you know, it's one of the things you got to kind of live with.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't make 100% of improvements to your park in one season. I mean, I would think you would know that, being as far along as you've been in the business. I mean, and number two, you're going to worry about, you know, he made the comment about the visitors' clubhouse. Well, number one, you don't play, so don't go down there.
Yeah.
And number two, the Cubs were already told if they want an All-Star game, they have to improve the visitors' clubhouse. But of course, you're not going to go and improve the visitor clubhouse before you make the improvements to the home team.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to, here we go. We're gonna fix the visitors clubhouse before we do anything at all to the to the home team. Yeah, okay, whatever.
And if he pays so much attention to baseball, and if he says he does, or claims he does, and he would know that the Cubs are introducing next year a big bar type deal that's going to be underneath home plate. That's going to be $1 million season ticket holders. So, guys like you and I will never be able to sit behind home plate ever, or anywhere, really close to the dugout, because season ticket holders are going to be selling out $1 million plus a year just to be back there. And that would be the big business, the owners of ComEd, and you can go on and on down the line. Big time drug dealers, because apparently my boss, his tickets are by some big time drug dealers' tickets. So he tells us about that. you've got to bring in the multi-million-dollar revenue, which, of course they're already bringing in, but they're going to keep up in the ante. And let's be honest, what's going to be the last thing to get fixed?
That's just how it goes. The odd part is, there's a lot worse places than, Wrigley Field. Go to Oakland. And it's not just the visitors' clubhouse. The home team's clubhouse is horrible. The Coliseum is bad. I don't know if it's still called O.co. I don't remember if they're still using that name or whatever. But remember, they had the sewage back up in the home team's clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just like, okay, great. Here we go.
Well, and I've heard Pat and Ron on the Cubs, radio broadcast talk about when they're in Washington, how they're so high up they can't even see what's going on the field.
That's just kind of the thing. I think, wherever you go, that's the weird thing with Hawk as a former player. You would think that he realizes that everything is going to be catered to the home team. They're not there to make the visitors comfortable. So, it's just kind of like, okay, change and let's go.
Yeah, the thing I found the funniest when I was looking up into his career, for as much as, the fans love him as a broadcaster, they should be damn well happy that he did not stay the general manager. Comes in and fires Tony La Russa, gives up Bobby Bonilla. No wonder he never got another job in the front office.
Yeah, well, to be fair, though, remember when he took that job, he did say he could get them to the playoffs in 1 year, and if he didn't, he would quit. So, he had his year, and he did leave. So at least he was a man of his word when it came to that, at least that way. But yeah, he had, out of the two of them who've done all those games, I would have rather seen Steve Stone as the general manager.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things I mentioned, and I know the White Sox aren't going to do this. It's not a knock on them or anything like that. It's just the way broadcasting is today. But I think it would be a really cool idea. They went with a one-man booth. I don't know if he can do it or would want to do it, but I think that would be something that would be kind of extra special.
Well, Vince Scully did it for how long?
Mm-hmm.
So, it could be possible, but so all right. Well, Dan, I really wanted to get to this, and I know it's not one of the sports that we follow. Oh, pretty much at all. Neither you or I are college football fans or, anything like that. But there was some interesting news that came out, Josh Rosen is the starting quarterback at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, but UCLA for short. And he did an interview with, I want to say Bleacher Report was the original one. And he was actually quoted as saying that football and school don't mix. And, you know, he's there. He apparently is majoring in sociology. And he talked about how he couldn't take one of the classes for his majors because it interfered with a scheduled football practice time, which, of course, they wouldn't move, you know, because football is king because it makes money. There's been good and bad with this, but I think you and I have kind of known, especially in the basketball sector of college, that these guys really aren't there to get degrees. They're there to move on to the next level. Were you surprised in his honesty about this?
No, I mean, it's pretty much out there. I go back to my community college days, roughly 20 years ago. I did that. But a friend of mine played soccer, and he actually had to drop out of a class because the soccer practices and games were too early. And that was just community college.
I just found it kind of interesting that he was really that honest in his interview, because you know most guys kind of cover it up, and he made some other interesting points. You know, there's always been talk about maybe they need the SAT scores to be, you know, the requirements to be raised, and he even pointed out, and he used the University of Alabama. His comment was, you know, see what kind of team they have if you were to raise the SAT requirements. You know, he went on to say, you know, you lose athletes and then the product on the field suffers. Dan, I know everybody loves the idea of the student athlete. And, you know, like I've always kind of been against these guys getting paid because they're supposed to be there to get an education. But, you know, looking at it more and more, it seems to be more the school that doesn't want them to get the education, and they just want to make sure they make money. There's no way to fix this, is there?
No, and that's why I think it's the biggest scam of them all, because at the end of the day, the school generates revenue, the NCAA generates revenue. Granted, these kids, quote unquote, get a free education. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the professor is going to get paid his salary no matter what. And if they adjunct the professors, then that, you know, makes the cost even lower for the school. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the school and the NCAA is what really makes out.
I'm assuming it would probably be a little difficult to get the quote unquote athletes to do this, just because I know, how it kind of is. But what about what about an online option where, you know, they could take their classes online? They wouldn't have to worry about trying to go to a class. Do you think that would make anything easier?
Oh, it would definitely make things easier. I mean, I don't understand why in this day and age a school like UCLA doesn't have that option. I mean, it's virtually unnecessary to even go to class anymore.
Well, you know, to be fair, it is possible they might, and we just might not know about it. It's just one of those things that, you know, I never really looked into. So, I was just wondering, do you think?
And they want those classrooms. Because then they start losing property.
Do you think
tax advantages or deductions. So, I mean, it's a giant scam.
Yeah, you know, I mean, do you think that could be something they could get their athletes to participate in?
Can you repeat that? I lost you for a second.
I was saying, do you think, like, the online schooling, do you think that could be something they could get their athletes to, you know, to participate in?
I think so. I mean, it would make things a lot easier.
So, yeah, I was, you know, again, I was...
The hard thing about it is you're asking a 100-plus-year institution to try to revamp the way they've been doing things. And not only revamp, but then if they have less people in the classroom, there's less of a necessity to have these classrooms to begin with. And then they don't need all this, you know, land and property. Then you really don't need students to actually live there. So then you start losing out on a whole lot of money. I mean, the way I see it today is even if a school is not for profit, there's still a profit involved. And I mean, schools should be trying to get you to come there, not you trying to get in there.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I didn't know if it was a doable thing or anything. I just thought possibly, you know, it was an option or, you know, something, you know, because I know you have, you know, obviously done, you know, the majority of your schooling online.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It definitely is about these big institutions. I mean, I went to UTK, saw the stadium that seats 100,000 people. I mean, for them to really change their thing and give more online classes, you know, that would take away from kids being on campus and, you know, parents spending all their money, and not only spending their money, but getting all that money from the government, from all the federal loans. You know, and then that cuts down the price if they don't have to live there, you know, things of that sort. But like you always say, at the end of the day, it's, you know, cash rules everything around me.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that's, you know, that's definitely, you know, how it's going to go. I mean, you know, money, you know, it's all about the money there. It's got nothing to do with anything else. So I just thought it was, you know, that, you know, like the thing I liked was he was just incredibly candid in the interview. You know, and I guess to be fair, I mean, he doesn't really have anything to lose. He's an NFL caliber quarterback. So he's going to get drafted. I mean, he's got nothing to worry about. He could have left school this year and been drafted. So, you know, one more year will probably just help his cause there. So it's not, you know, not going to be too big of an issue for, you know, for him. And I guess if your grades are good, it's okay. I mean, now if you were a guy who was just drawing incompletes, you probably wouldn't do this, would you?
Probably not. At least it shows he knows he's putting importance into his education, knowing full well that being an NFL star doesn't last forever, especially today.
Yeah, you know, with everything. Now, you know, I did see another wonderful story involving the NBA, and I just couldn't quite figure out how they could possibly swing this without somebody taking a huge pay cut. But, you know, the Pacers decided, you know, they decided to trade Paul George. He ended up going to Oklahoma City. Now he's in the last year of his deal, and he's mentioned all along that he would really be interested in going to the Lakers because he's from there and, you know, all that other fun stuff. But today the story broke, Dan, that when he does hit the free agent market, and now, of course, we're an entire offseason ahead of ourselves, that the Golden State Warriors would be in pursuit of him. Do you see this as a possibility, or would they have to give up like a Klay Thompson or a Draymond Green or something to make this actually work?
Well, I mean, I think it all depends on how high the salary cap goes up next year, right?
Yeah, so... Well, you know, now they did, you know, the other thing the NBA did, I don't know if you caught this one, but they changed the schedule. You know, they've cut down on back-to-back games, and teams will no longer play four games in 5 days. Of course, you know, they did all this so, you know, they could try to get teams to stop resting their star players on those big, you know, Saturday night events and stuff where they're, you know, running the games on ABC and it's supposed to be the, you know, the biggest thing. You know, I don't know. Do you see guys stopping, you know, doing that?
No, I don't think it'll change, but I mean, it seems like the way the schedule goes with the broadcast schedule, actually, you know, what do we have? I don't, Thursday nights TNT, Friday nights ESPN, Saturday nights ABC, and then you got the Sunday afternoon games. Or,
yeah.
No, we don't play. No, we don't have Sunday afternoon games until February after the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
till the NFL season. So.
Yeah, I mean, in essence, I think it is a good idea because you obviously don't want. You don't want the Cavaliers playing Friday night and then Saturday night because you know that, you know damn well that LeBron's not going to play in one of those games.
Yeah.
And if it's Tony's not going to be in both of them.
Yeah, who knows? You know, oddly, I'm still under the impression that the Spurs are still going to rest guys just because I think they would want to stick it in their face. But, I just don't know.
Yeah, but I think the way the Spurs can get around it or away with it is because, aside from Kawhi Leonard, I don't think nationally their team has, you know, guys that are, you know, the star power of, say, like the Cleveland Cavaliers with Love, Irving, and LeBron. Which I don't even know if Kyrie's going to be there next year, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, so far he's still there. We'll have to see if they grant his trade request. So.
Yeah. But before we run out of time, I know we talked about it a little bit here and there. It's kind of difficult to really catch up on unless you're watching Fox Sports 1, which I do have to say MLB Whip Around is pretty awesome. I wish I could stay up that late to watch it. But Monday night... Monday night was the first time I was able to, there's nothing else on, to catch the big three. Have you been able to catch this big game?
No, you know, I saw a little bit of it the first week it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stupid me, I went away from it. And I got sidetracked with something else and never went back to it. Now, were these the games that were in Chicago?
No, I have no clue where they were. You know, we got rejected for our press passes because there was a whole lot of interest, which I could do see on the media side of it. I'm a little disappointed because we never got highlight videos or any other follow-up emails from the big three and Mr. Cube company. But, to be honest, you know, catching it, I think it's a really cool concept. I think it's something that they could really go with, and I think it's something that they could definitely last longer than, say, something like Slam Ball, if you remember that from a while back after WWE, which was pretty – it was actually pretty cool. But this thing, you know, once it – if it gets legs and you get a few more retired players to kind of join in, you know, if Shaq was in better shape – not to say he isn't in good shape, but – I don't know if Shaq could, you know, keep up with it. He is kind of old. He played a long time in the NBA. But I think if you get a few more stars coming up and they get to go another couple of years, I think this can really take off. I do think they're going about it all wrong. It is the big three. I do think they put it on too big of a scale, though. You know, obviously they position fans to where the building looks full. But if you got the corners, there was literally nobody in the corners. So I think putting it in a regular arena was just a bad idea. They should definitely be looking to go to smaller arenas But I think if they want to differentiate themselves a little bit more, I think, you know, bringing it outside.
Yeah.
I think the cost would be a little bit higher.
That.
You know, the cost would definitely be a little bit higher, but that's what you got the network for. And if you can really get Fox behind them, I think it would make it really awesome to have them outside. You know, I mean, really, you'd have to bring out a bunch of some more bleachers. You know, because stuff like this, you're not really relying on revenue money from ticket sales. You're relying more on the money coming from the network and buying it. So you can definitely get the crowd and make it a little bit more exciting if it was outside with the bleachers. You get a few trailers for the teams and such. So, I mean, it would take it away from them all having to share one locker room, because you can't tell me they're not doing that. So, I mean, I kind of can figure out the ins and outs of behind the scenes stuff. It might cost you just a little bit more, but then, you know, you'd probably be saving on a lot of the rent money that goes into renting out, you know, the big Coliseum. So, and, you know, I thought was really cool, and you would get this, and I don't know how many people would, you know, really remember, but Michael Rappaport was doing some Encore interviews. And that's kind of a blast from the past for me as a kid. I forget what he was involved with, but he was always around in the NBA. So I thought that was pretty cool. But like I said, I think if they can get a few more stars, I've always been a huge Iverson fan, but I think now that they've got it going, they could just kind of let him walk away. And I don't know if Ice Cube is trying to be a star driving it, but I think if he disassociates his name with it and lets it just run itself, I think that would be better for it. I don't know. I don't really think, like, he brings a whole lot to it. You know, that's just my opinion.
No, well, you know, they do. You know, they only have one more week left in the regular season. This week they're in Los Angeles, and then the playoffs start August 20th in Seattle, and then the championship is August 26th in Las Vegas. So they are, you know, and it was only a short week. What was it, 8 weeks, I think they were going with?
I mean, but if you think about it, with 8 weeks, I don't think you could do Vegas outside, though. I don't think that would work too well for these guys. But, you know, everywhere else they've gone, I think it would do it justice bringing it outside. Maybe not every one of them, but, you know, mixing it up, because it looks very I don't know what the word is, but it's just not, it's kind of dry with them being inside. It doesn't really set them aside, set them apart from the NBA a whole
yeah.
lot. I mean, the half court thing, obviously, but, you know, still kind of the same setup. And the 4-point thing was a little cheesy. I think they could have went about it better.
Well, you know, live and learn, right? So, all right.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget, we're back tomorrow at 5:30 live at Duke Ball again. For the Duke Ball, sportsradio.com. Get up for their checkout blog. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. We'd appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. We'll always get back to you. You know, as you know, it's the big thing. You know, we appreciate you coming on, listening to us live here. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.